Broadcasting from the ESPN Tallahassee studios in Florida's capital city and in partnership with the JoeBucksFan.com podcasting network, this is the Scuttle Bucks on 97.9 ESPN Radio. The Scuttle Bucks with Jeff Cameron and Tom Lang is presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's hometown Ford dealer for nearly 60 years and home of the nationwide lifetime warranty for new and pre-owned vehicles. BillCurryFord.com. Here's ESPN and Tallahassee's Jeff Cameron and Tom Lang.
And away we go. Welcome into the Scuttlebucks. Great to be with you. The Bucks keep winning. This show's fun to do when they're doing that. Fun to do always, but especially true after victories. The Bucks get another one. This one was exhilarating. Yours truly was there in attendance. They did a good job down there at Ray J with the new norm. Had a good time. Welcome in. I'm Jeff. That's Tom. Bucks are 3-1. They play tonight. You're listening to this as we gear up for the game against the Bears on the road. Do have some injury concerns. Pretty weighty injury concerns when you look at that injury report. Lita Kemper, JoeBucksFan.com, going to join us coming up, and I'll ask him about it. But obviously, Chris Godwin is out. LeSean McCoy is injured, although he's not a very good football player. Justin Watson is hurt, did not participate in practice. Leonard Fournette out, ankle, doubtful for the game. Mike Evans is a walking wounded tough guy, no doubt about that. Tough guy. I watched the injury play out right in front of me on Sunday, and I didn't think he'd be coming back. It looked pretty bad, but he did. He's hobbled. He'll play. You know how he is. Scotty Miller, who's having a breakout year, and they're getting something out of him now as a pretty reliable threat down the field, but he's got a hip and a groin issue. Never fun to have groin issues, obviously, hip issues, especially if you're a speedster. William Golston, Rob Gronkowski, Jason Pierre-Paul, and Dominican Sue, all listed on this injury report, most of whom that I just mentioned are going to play, but that are dealing with some sort of injury.
No, this is one of those result games. It's not process. I don't care how it happens. Short week, Thursday night, you're banged up. It's hard to figure what the Bears are or aren't, but you're on the road at Soldier Field, so you have to do all that, plus the COVID protocols. It's a mess. The whole thing is a mess, and if you find a way to win it 17-16, 3-2, I don't care. Just take it and run.
It's hard to get a feel for the game. You're right. It really is. Short rest games are always difficult. You know, if you're a sporting guy or gal, I never mess with these Thursday night games because you just really don't know. This is where you see weird things happen, where a result plays out, and it's unlike any other result for either team the rest of the year. It happens on Thursday night games.
Well, it's really hard to handicap what the Bears are, too, because Nick Foles is their quarterback, and of course he had the huge comeback against the Falcons a couple of weeks ago, but then last weekend
shut down.
They were shut down, but the Colts defense we think is pretty good. Opponent adjusted rankings, they're quite good in the efficiency metrics. They're number one in a lot of them. But still, if you look at the Colts schedule, they play the likes of the Jets and Minnesota in week one before they had gotten it together.
Or the Jags.
And the Jags, whom they lost, hung 27 on them. So it's really hard to know what the hell the Colts are. So if you're trying to project what is Foles going to bring to the table tonight, I don't know. It could be feast or famine.
He could be great or he could be terrible. You don't know. You're right. And that's really kind of him in his career. When he's right, when he gets hot, he's really, really good, and he can carry a team. We've seen it all the way through to a Super Bowl victory. When he's bad, he doesn't look like he belongs in the league. The first three quarters of the game against the Colts, three and a half quarters, basically almost the whole game, he was useless against the Colts. They did nothing. I mean, it was a total domination, 19-3, and it looked like 19-3. It just was hideous. They get the late meaningless touchdown with a two-point conversion. They go for the onsides, don't get it. I don't know what to expect from him tonight. I don't, you know, the Bucs defense is interesting to me. They really didn't play a good half of football against the Chargers in the first half. You saw a team get beat over the top. Herbert looked like we make a lot of rookie quarterbacks look for whatever reason, Joe Montana. Herbert, I think, is going to be a good player. He can spin it. He's tough. He buys time in the pocket. So he gave us problems. Obviously, the Bucs adjust and play real well in the second half, and don't give up nearly the same amount of yards or points. I'd like to bet that what we've seen mostly from the Bucs defense is what they are and not what we saw in that half. They did not play well in that game.
Well, so they get beat over the top in a couple situations where they're used to getting home on the blitz. Could but if you home. Don't get home.
And or if he buys time.
Well, Herbert, he made the throws. Yeah. I was worried about that, but I didn't think he'd make that many throws.
Oh, he made the throws.
You knew he had the cannon, but the back shoulder throw to put them up, I think that was their third touchdown of the game. Was exceptional, and that was perfect coverage by Murphy Bunting. Yep, what the hell can you do with that?
No, he made a lot of great throws.
He made a ton of good plays, and we hung in there, and of course, it's a situational gaffe by the Chargers that opens the door, and then once the door's open, the Bucs did what good teams do, which is you take advantage of it,
yeah.
And then it was kind of like the team we cover on Saturdays. Once it started, the Avalanche didn't stop. The offense kept pouring it on. I hope that Scotty Miller is available tonight because
it's
he was
really
critical
important, yeah.
to winning this past game, especially now that O.J. Howard is out for the season.
Yeah, that's where I was going next, Tom. A good point to bring it up. O.J. Howard, for all my criticisms of him in previous iterations, meaning not the one we've seen here this year, because the other guy is the one who largely occupied his body, and he did nothing. This new guy, who's reborn under Tom Brady, had become the weapon we hoped he'd be in the draft when we picked him up. It was the reason you weren't upset that you didn't take Dalvin Cook, because you thought you had a mismatch, a bona fide mismatch that teams were going to find to be a nightmare. This version of him was that. He's too big for safeties and corners and too fast for linebackers. He's a problem, and he was great in this game, and you know, you really felt like he was coming into his own. I'm glad they've extended him, picked up the fifth year. He's going to be a good player, I think, next year. But, boy, you hate to see that because now he's out and you lose the explosiveness. Listen, it's good to fall back on the experience of Rob Gronkowski. He's not nearly as explosive. He's really good as a blocker. I think these days he's probably, depending on the matchup, a pretty average receiver, not the elite player he was. And then, of course, you got Cameron Brate, who scores in this game, and it's nice to fall back on a guy who's been to the Pro Bowl as your third-string tight end, but neither of those guys changed the dynamic of lifting the lid and getting down the field.
Correct, but here's the thing about this week's opponent. In watching some of the defensive performances turned in by Chicago, and they're still quite good. I don't know that they're as good as they were 2 years ago. I don't think so. There are a couple of places consistently that opponents are taking advantage of them. One is flares out of the backfield. So, you know, I wish McCoy was available for this game. It might be a Keyshawn Vaughn type of night because Ronald Jones can't catch.
I like Keyshawn Vaughn more in that role anyhow, Tom, if he's going to continue to catch the ball, because he's so much more elusive and explosive than LeSean McCoy, who's fairly useless with the football in his hand.
But the second place that you could take advantage of them is with tight ends over the middle. The linebackers can be abused. In terms of coverage, the Bears linebackers can be taken advantage of. But that's why Scotty Miller's important, because you need to have the over-the-top threat so they can't key in on things around the line of scrimmage, or else you might be throwing yet another pick six this weekend, tonight, this Thursday. It's just with OJ out, now you need to rely on Gronk and Cameron Brate to be those guys. I mean, 84 did catch a touchdown last week, but he's going to have to be a much bigger part of the game plan if you're going to take advantage of some of the weaknesses that the Bears' defense has, and they don't have a ton of them.
Let's note that, by the way, because one of the strengths of that defense is one of the best players in the entirety of the National Football League, and that is Khalil Mack, who every time you look at, you think, my God, how is a human built like that? I mean, look at Khalil Mack, folks. It's not right. It's not normal to look like Khalil Mack looks, and he's explosive to boot, and yet Tristan Wirfs is a guy that I'm not going to concede that matchup. I'm not going to say that he loses. He's done everything and more that you could dream of when you draft a tackle in the first round.
Yeah, you can't concede it. You're not allowed to anymore. And that's awesome as a Bucs fan to be able to say.
Yeah.
Because if you look at the cut-up of the matchup between Bosa and Wirfs, and this is the thing that scared me most, not that the Chargers were going to score 30-plus points.
No, I didn't think that.
The thing that I was worried about was a low-scoring game in which Bosa is wreaking havoc on our timing in the pocket. The offensive line was phenomenal this past weekend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Clean pocket throughout. Look at the mashup of Brady's throws, and NFL Network is all too happy to put 5 minutes together Tom Brady throws.
Clean pocket every time.
But for good reason in this game, clean pocket. The one time that they had an issue, they had a twist, and then you have a back and a guard miscommunicating, and that's when Brady gets popped on a third down throw. He gets hit in the hip.
Yeah.
Other than that, They did an exceptional job, and the mashup shows that what Wirfs did against Cam Jordan, which is in a couple of plays, that first step when he flares out against a wide technique,
it's all
he is fast as crap.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah, he's fast
as hell.
It's crazy.
Yeah,
yeah, it is unbelievable to see a guy that big. We wondered about the feet. It's all we wondered about. We knew he was superhuman strong. I mean, they profiled that on draft day, and all the guys that come out of Iowa typically are. For all the problems that program seems to have, they certainly don't have a problem producing offensive linemen who are strong. So you knew that, but he's quick. Yes.
Well, it reminds me of a different sport. It reminds me of a goaltender like Andre Vasilevsky pushing off to go from one side of the rink to the other. That first step, that lateral explosiveness. Like, we know that Wirfs is explosive. He can jump out of a pool and land on his feet on the pool deck.
Which is kind of ridiculous at that size, yeah.
But that doesn't necessarily mean that you can laterally move that quickly.
Correct.
He can. And so, yeah, I mean, it's a really fascinating matchup tonight.
Well, it's a tough matchup for the Bucks because you have that, which I don't know, you know, again, I'm not going to concede, but you've also got the Kappa Akeem Hicks matchup, which is a really difficult matchup for Kappa. I don't know that he's going to win that matchup.
So the success I've seen so far against Chicago in the ground game has been on delays, handoffs out of the shotgun. That's something that Ronald Jones should be able to do tonight, but it hasn't been the straight ahead under center kind of thing.
That
it's
ain't
been
happening, yeah.
Delays, maybe misdirections, maybe you're pulling a guard or you're using a tight end in the run game. That's where I'd like to have more options at that position to where you can move guys around and create some angles. But Atlanta was able to do it consistently, and the Colts were able to do it when they had some success running out of the gun tonight. So we'll see if we attack the Bears with Ronald Jones out of the gun, or if we try and run it straight downhill, which is obviously some things that we are frustrated about with our first down play call.
A lot of fun to talk about the team every week right now, because whatever slights we may have for a player or a concept or a moment in a game have to be weighed against another win, more success, and more signs that there's more good here to come than bad, certainly. Like, they're not close to where they're going to be, I don't think. I think they can be one of the most explosive offenses in the league if they can get healthy. Yeah. I mean, Chris Godwin's a big part of changing the overall dynamic of this offense to where you feel good week in and week out. In fact, he's probably my favorite player on the team, but or one of, certainly. But without him there, you have these, you know, questions that you don't know how they're going to be answered. Scotty Miller has been the answer to many of them, surprisingly. But now you lose O.J. Howard, and as these things start to mount, you do worry a little bit about what they will be. I don't have as many concerns about the defense.
That's where, if you're just looking at the offense and the inconsistencies of it, it would be a lot easier if defenses had to account for Godwin, obviously.
Yes.
And you'd have more things that are open over the middle. But Tom Brady also, in general, let's just say that he had all his weapons, he still isn't up to speed on the offense. His eyes aren't in the right place on certain throws. Like, for example, if you look at the pick six that happened this weekend, which is a staple in our offense, it's a far side out, and it's just dumb. Can we stop calling that?
Well,
please.
There's obviously a tell, moreover. I mean, other receivers have run that same route with that same result. It's not just the receiver's fault. Like,
with different quarterbacks.
Different quarterbacks, different receivers. That play needs to be burned from the book.
And here's the thing. I watched the All-22 because the NFL Game Pass releases it. That's
yes.
The one good thing about doing this on Thursdays instead of Wednesdays last year. The Game Pass releases on Wednesdays.
Yes.
So I went back and I watched the tight and the All-22 copy. And you even have the slot defender jumping at this pass, trying to and break on it. So you have
that's
two different defenders
that's a tell. Yeah.
Jumping on the pass at two different levels. And you have Justin Watson. He did all he could. But if Brady's eyes are in the right place, here's the thing about that play.
There's a play open down the field.
You've got Scotty Miller all the way outside the numbers on the right, and O.J. Howard running up the seam, and it's a two-on-one because they've got a defender in the flat there. That is a principle of the offense pre-snap that Tom Brady just doesn't know yet. And if you look at some of the third down throws as well, he had Scotty or O.J. Howard over the middle wide open, and he's throwing up the sidelines. His eyes aren't in the right spot with this offense just yet, and yet he can still put up five touchdowns and 300-plus yards in a game.
Yeah, yeah.
When he gets hot, he still gets hot. He doesn't know this offense all the way yet, and we know this. You look at Hall of Famers and guys who are throwing for 5,000 yards in this offense, all of them in their first year don't get it the way they need to. So Brady's still going to have some growing pains, but if you can win all the while you're growing, then who cares?
Yeah, and when he's good, he's really good. Should be noted as we speak, and I'm going to talk to Lee DeKemper more about the injury report, but Ian Rappaport just noted this very moment while we're doing the show, Tom, that for tonight's game, Bucks-Bears, Mike Evans, ankle, Scotty Miller, hip groin are listed as questionable. Miller is expected now to play for sure, but Evans is a game-time decision. Rappaport was told that Evans will work out pregame and try to test the ankle to see if he can do anything with it. There's optimism, but they're not sure. They're still not sure with Mike Evans. Obviously, if Mike Evans doesn't play, you got problems. I mean, you're really getting down to the nitty-gritty here then in terms of what you roll out there as your receiving core. I mean, nothing against those other guys, but I mean, Mike Evans and Chris Godwin are kind of what you do.
No, and this is where there is a staple in what Jameis did in the Arians offense, and every quarterback's going to run it different. They're going to have a different subset of plays that they like, but there were some things that you could take advantage of with the receivers that Jameis ran last year, and we'll see if Tom has the same thing, but it's deep ends and little comebacks, mm-hmm. not the outs, but the ends.
Ends, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Chicago will sit and play deep and play over the top, and you can hit them underneath for 10 and 12 yards, I'd say two out of every three throws. But if you have Tyler Johnson and you have, I mean, Justin Watson isn't even available in this game. So if you have Tyler Johnson and Cyril Grayson, where Evans should be and Godwin it's a timing route, I don't know, man. I mean, the probability of picks is high tonight.
Well, yeah, straight up, I'll tell you, if he doesn't play and that's what you just described as our receiving core, we're going to lose the football game. Unless the defense wins it. And that's a distinct possibility because you don't know what you're going to get out of Foles. And I'm not in love with this Bears offense, so okay.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is you wouldn't key on those plays. You wouldn't try and run those plays if those receivers aren't available. So you're going to have flares out of the backfield. You're going to have some misdirection with the tight ends. And then you hope that Scotty Miller over the top can be a threat for you. That's not a sustainable – that's a splash play game plan.
You better hope to score 21 points somehow by hook or crook and then hold on for dear life and win Correct. The game. That's what that feels like. Lita Kemper, JoeBucksFan.com, going to join us next.
Shopping for a used F-150, a car, or an SUV? Find Tampa's biggest and best used inventory at Bill Curry Ford, 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium. Shop now at BillCurryFord.com and see the nationwide lifetime warranty on pre-owned vehicles. Now, here's Jeff Cameron and Tom Lang.
Well, that's especially touching these days when you hear the Eddie Van Halen riff, really any of them, and we've heard a lot of them over the last 48 hours, certainly, but that has been standard operating procedure around here whenever we bring in my next guest, Lita Kemper, JoeBucksFan.com, joins us on the Scuttlebucks. Doff of the cap to the great one. I know, Lee, you're a fan just like I'm a fan, and, you know, growing up, I mentioned this yesterday on my show that I was fortunate enough to have older brothers, and, you know, I didn't go to high school until 1985, so 85 through 89, and Van Halen was already firmly established as one of the biggest bands in the world. But those early albums, Van Halen 1, Van Halen 2, Women and Children First, Diver Down, Van Halen 3, all those records, my brothers had them all, and I remember listening to those records and thinking, this is different, because that sound, that tone, you knew. It was very distinctive that guy was different. So I figured we would acknowledge, as I bring you onto the program, the great Eddie Van Halen.
Melancholy couple days for me. What you said is absolutely true. And I'll tell you a quick story. It's football related, and it's Eddie Van Halen related. I was a nothing high school player, but I remember in high school, as all high school kids do, there's parties. And there was a huge party. We had a victory over our bitter rival, and that night, or the next night, I can't remember which, it might have been the next night, there was a big party to celebrate this win. And at this win, you know, there's music blaring, and someone pulled up with a car, and they had a kick rear-end stereo system in the car, and they played this song, and it was like, whoa, what is this? And that was the very first time I heard Van Halen. And it was it Where Is Love, or Should There Be Love, or Is This Love? It was off the first album. I can't remember the title off the top of my head. And I just remember hearing that for the first time. And Howard Stern said it best. When you first heard Van Halen, you knew you heard something superior. And I'll never forget that. And like Greg Gutfeld, SES, for Jazz Choir, and he said, if you grew up in the 70s and 80s, the first time you heard Van Halen, you know what I'm talking about. And those two guys said it best. I mean, I'll never forget that. I was instantly hooked and forever hooked on Eddie Van Halen. So, like, as you said perfectly, bow for the cap. He gave so many millions of people, enriched their lives, and gave them countless hours of enjoyment that guy had an impact on the world, because it wasn't just America, it wasn't just Los Angeles, it was the world, and few people can do that, ever pull that off. He was one of those people.
Virtuoso. On to the football, and the Bucks win a thrilling game, a bizarre football game, and now we look to tonight's game against Chicago, but before we do, I got to tell you, I was at that game, and I'm watching it with my son, and obviously I'll be forever happy for him that the first drive he ever saw in person for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is led by Tom Brady down the field. It is, I mean, a thing of beauty, that opening drive. And they punch it in, and I'm like, there it is, son. That never changes. That's the first drive you've ever seen in person for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and it's led by Tom Brady, and it's a touchdown. And, man, you'll remember that. You don't realize it, but you'll remember that. And then the game turns on a dime, and Herbert looks like the better quarterback for the better part of a half. And I'm sitting there stunned thinking, well, great beginning, but they're going to get blown out. And frankly, if Anthony Lynn and his infinite wisdom didn't do what they did at the end of the first half, I don't think the Bucs come back. I don't think Tom Brady engineers a comeback. They get a gift from the gods of stupidity. As instead of taking a knee, they decide to run and not only run, but do what they did with a read. It's unbelievable. So they get the gift wrap touchdown, and then it's off to the races, and Tom Brady becomes Tom Brady again. Almost instantaneously to start the second half, you see an entirely different guy. And when he's really good right now, he's really, really elite. When he's not, it makes you wonder where he is. I mean, he's a guy that has had, by and large, a great start to his career in Tampa, but he has entire quarters and halves sometimes where you go, what the hell is this? The arm strength is gone. There's another pick six. All of a sudden, you're questioning whether or not this was a good move. I can't quite explain it, but when he's good, he's all-time good.
Oh, yeah. He's uneven. You know, he doesn't look fully comfortable yet. And I like to listen to Chris Sims' breakdown of games, the former Bucks quarterback, and obviously his dad was the great Phil Sims. And Chris Sims works as a talking head for NBC Sports, and he's really got some good breakdowns. And what I think is interesting with Chris Sims is he spent a year as an offensive assistant with Belichick. So he obviously knows the Patriots system, and he obviously knows Brady. So his insight I find to be very, very interesting and enlightening. And he's brought up a few things about Brady. He said that, number one, you could tell that Arians is incorporating a lot of the Patriots offense to help Brady, you know, get him on his two feet, so to speak. And he said he's noticed a pattern. In the shotgun, Brady is quite often running a Patriots play, the short dink and dunk play. He said when Brady's under center, it's an Arians play. They're going deep. He's noticed that pattern, number one. Number two, about the pick six, Sims excoriated Justin Watts. He said that was, I can't use the same word, the FCC will come after. But let's just put it this way, it was feces related. The way, and he just tore apart Justin Watts. He said on that particular route, you're supposed to run straight at a cornerback. You attack the cornerback. You don't try to run past him. And he said if you try to run past a cornerback on that particular pass, you're begging for an interception. So it could be that Sims is a quarterback, so he's going to take the quarterback point of view. But he tore apart Justin Watson on that pick six. He said that was all on Justin Watson. And I thought that was very interesting. You know, Brady isn't fully comfortable yet. And at times, like you said, you wonder, you know, what's going on here? But when he's on, he's on. And he sure doesn't look like a 43-year-old quarterback to me. He certainly has the arm yet. And statistics are showing that he's having one of his best career years throwing the deep ball, which that's Arians' bread and butter. So it's very interesting. Hopefully he's more on than off with the Bears. The Bears' tough defense. But, yeah, you're right. There are times where you're like, you know, what is this? Ryan Griffin is out there? What's going on?
I want to make sure I phrase this properly. I think right now I certainly do not have buyer's remorse. I mean, this has been a good addition. He gets the ball out quicker than Jameis does. He does a better job of protecting the football, even in light of the interceptions I'm referring to. He's been good. He's been very good. It's just that when he's not, he's really not. He looks completely lost, and you're thinking, is this the byproduct of not having that chemistry yet or not really completely knowing the offense yet? I don't know what it is, but when he's bad, he's bad. Other than that, he's more often really, really, really good and obviously deadly accurate. When you're completing over 65% of your passes, you're having a fine campaign. And he does get the ball down the field, which was my original concern. So, on the whole, I'm very satisfied. I'm also satisfied with this offensive line, which has played, for the most part, very well. You've got a couple of candidates on this offensive line to be at this juncture of the season. Pro Bowlers. I mean, you know, Ali Marpet is probably playing better than any guard in the National Football League, you could argue. And then I think, obviously, the addition of Tristan Wirfs has been a slam dunk. He's just been nothing short of not good for a rookie, but rather really good, period, at tackle.
Yes. Matter of fact, I recorded last night the future, I guess I could say, the next edition of the Ira Kaufman podcast. And I asked him, I said, now, Ira, I'm not trying to be a troll here. I'm not trying to be a contrarian. I'm not trying to put up a false premise here. I have a legitimate question for you. I said, I know Ali Marpet's having a really good year, but based on who the guy had to block so far, is Tristan Wirfs their best offensive lineman? And I don't think that's an outrageous question. Look who he's had to block thus far.
Yeah.
I think that's a legitimate question. And that's not a knock on Ali Marpet at all. That's not a knock on Jensen at all. I think that's a legitimate question. Is Tristan Wirfs, as a rookie through four games, their best offensive lineman? I don't think that's an outrageous suggestion or question. He's playing that well. And obviously, tonight, Thursday night, he's got another, he's got a handful with him again. Khalil Mack, I think he's third in the league in quarterback pressures. So this is another test for Tristan Wirfs. But, you know, so far, that draft pick has been an absolute home run. And also, with the blocking, I don't think you can discount Rob Gronkowski. And poor Gronkowski, his model girlfriend, his SI cover girl girlfriend, she puts out a video. I think we might all be able to relate to this. She puts out a video over the weekend on Instagram Stories, which is only available for 24 hours. She puts out a video of his littered car with about a half dozen or nine empty plastic water bottles on the floorboard. Yeah. And he says, hey, I'm hydrating.
He's blocking is what he's doing. He's done a great job blocking, by the way.
Yeah, actually, this morning I just put up a video. It may have just published as we are speaking, Gronkowski blocking Joey Bosa one-on-one. And he did a pretty good job. So it's a combination of Wirfs, the addition of Wirfs, and the addition of Gronkowski that's really, really been a benefit for the Bucs offensive line as a whole.
What's the concern going into tonight's game? Short rest, banged up receivers. We know that's the obvious answer. Do you have anything else to add to that as far as what would have you a little worried about tonight's matchup?
A couple things. Evans, although I expect Evans to play because he's Evans is a throwback, if you think about it. He's a tough guy.
Yeah,
he's a tough guy. He probably should have been out there when they opened the season against the Saints, but he gutted it out. Obviously, he had an ugly ankle injury last week. You probably saw it with your own eyes.
Up close and personal, buddy.
Where you were.
Yeah.
When he caught that touchdown pass, he struggled to get back to the Bucs bench.
Yeah, he did.
So he gutted it out. He's a throwback. I think he'll play, but apparently it's a game-time decision, quote-unquote. But I expect him to play only because that's the way Evans is. And by the way, earlier this year, Evans was asked about his hamstring injury, and he just waves it off. He goes, everybody plays hurt in the NFL. Like, no big deal. He's just a throwback. He could have played in the 50s when it was open season on receivers going across the middle. Scotty Miller is also a concern. And by the way, who would expect Scotty Miller through four games to be on pace for 1,000 yards? That's a little surprising.
We joked about that at the start of the season. Brady likes receivers like him.
Yeah, although in his history, his history is those guys aren't as quick as Scotty Miller. Right. Yeah, you're right. You're right. So that's another spread. Now, I received a text from someone at One Buck Palace this week, and I was kind of told don't swallow the injury report whole. And I get that there might be some games to chip, but the reason why this guy texted was the Bucks didn't really have any practices this week. They had a practice yesterday, and then they took off to Chicago. Because it's a short week, they were doing almost all exclusively walkthroughs, not real practices. Because, you know, number one, they're banged up. Number two, is a short week. Number three, they want to be healthy for Chicago. So they really only had one practice. And the NFL mandates, if you're having a walkthrough, if you're having a full blown out all hit practice, if you're having a half practice, you know, where they're just wearing shells and shorts, you still have to have an injury report. So don't put a lot of emphasis into the injury report, because they really weren't hitting this week. They were doing walkthroughs. So that also tells me that most of these guys will probably try to make a go of it.
Brother, I always appreciate it. Head to JoeBucksFan.com for more insight. Lee DeKemper joins us every week on the Scuttlebucks. Good work out of you, and we'll talk next week.
Oh, thanks again, Jeff. You know I always enjoy talking to you and Tom, so let's go Bucks this week tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. Take care. That's Lee DeKemper, JoeBucksFan.com once again. By the way, you can get a new 2020 Ford F-150 trucks, I guess that's right now at Bill Curry Ford for up to $14,000 off. That sounds like a great deal to me. $14,000 off. The October offers are extra special at Bill Curry Ford, and you can start shopping at BillCurryFord.com. Bill Curry Ford, General Manager Sean Sullivan, lifelong Bucks fan, and he wants to help you personally in every way that he can, whether that's by phone, email, text, or right there in the modern Bill Curry Ford showroom. 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway, Curry family cares deeply about the community and its customers, and has for the last 60 years. Bill Curry Ford is home to the nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. Get started at BillCurryFord.com, and remember to ask for Scuttlebucks, that's this, or Joe Bucks fan discounts, BillCurryFord.com.
Just checking my microphone once as I test your audio. Increase the bass response, hoping the speakers blow. I got no time.
Shopping for a used F-150, a car, or an SUV? Find Tampa's biggest and best used inventory at Bill Curry Ford, 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium. Shop now at BillCurryFord.com and see the nationwide lifetime warranty on pre-owned vehicles. Now, here's Jeff Cameron and Tom Lang.
Let me reiterate, Bill Curry Ford, General Manager Sean Sullivan, is incredibly serious when it comes to his love for Bucks fans. He will help you personally 7 days per week. Call him, email him, or visit Sean inside the beautiful Bill Curry Ford showroom, 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium. Just past it. I was just down there. Ask for your Scuttlebucks, Joe Bucks fan discount, and Sean Sullivan will do truly everything he can to help you at Bill Curry Ford. Everything. That's the family service you can expect from Bill Curry Ford. And they've been honored by Ford headquarters many times for the exemplary care of customers. That's Tampa's first family of Ford for the past 60 years. Get shopping today, BillCurryFord.com. BillCurryFord.com. All right, so it's an interesting game tonight. It's hard to get a read. We said that earlier in the show just because, again, there's some key matchups, but you also have short rest, and both teams are a little bit dinged. A good matchup will be Darnell Mooney against the Bucks corners, probably Bunting, Murphy Bunting. So that's a good matchup to take a look at. We already mentioned, at least for the offensive line, the test, both for Wirfs and also Kappa, could be a tough matchup there. The Bears are really stout up front. So there are a lot of things that concern you. But then again, I think if I were doing this show from the perspective of the Bears, I'd be very concerned with what that offense looked like just a week ago, less than a week ago against the Colts. And now you're facing a Bucks defense that can do something about it. I would be a little concerned there too.
Yeah, you have to have answers for pressure if you're going to play the Bucks. And Herbert found those answers. And to a degree, Teddy Bridgewater did a pretty good job against these pressures as well. But Nick Foles
isn't going to run around.
Well, he's not going to run around. And I don't know about the receiver's ability to separate this. I mean, that's the one thing about last week I think is an outlier. I hope it is, at least, because the shots down the field were because Herbert was able to backpedal and still put a bunch of mustard on throws down the field. I don't know that Foles has that in him. Now, they should get cleaner together, him and Nagy, because this is their second full game together, and Foles can run the system, and the concepts of the system are similar to the things he ran in Philadelphia, and he ran to great success there. But against this defense, you've got to make decisions in a split second, or else you're going to be on the ground. So it's just another night where I would expect the Bucs to carry over an effort from the second half in which they really bounced back. And they found some ways to get pressure and affect Justin Herbert. That's how he forced. That's how he got him to force himself into a bad pick late in the game that sealed the deal. We'll see what the Bucs defense is able to do tonight. But I would think you got to keep Chicago in the teens to feel good about our chances of winning.
Yeah, I would say that for the Bucks, getting that win last week was huge. As banged up as they are now, you could see them dropping a game like this, and you wouldn't even, I guess you wouldn't say that it was reflective of how the rest of the season is going to go. You'd say this is an aside, a one-off, a weird thing. So I'm glad they got that win. I'm not saying they're going to lose tonight. I just could see it. I could see this being problematic with all the injuries. It's hard not to. But I also say this, when we look big picture a quarter of the way into the season, you can't possibly be anything but absolutely thrilled. It almost looks now like the loss to the Saints was a fluke. Like, you would look at that now and say, who are you picking, Bucks, Saints, if they played tomorrow? The Bucks. You're picking the Bucks. So are, I guarantee you, Vegas would too. So we're unquestionably the best team in the league, and I mean in the division. The other thing I'd note is, when you're taking the big picture approach, the win over Carolina now looks really good.
Yeah.
I mean, Carolina is game. They play hard. Teddy is north of average at quarterback, and they're playing hard. They're playing like a team that is going to stick around somewhere above 500. So it's a good thing you got that win. That turned into a pretty stressful affair. And at the time, I think we thought, what is going on here? But now you look and you say, okay, Carolina's not a terrible football team.
Yeah, this is a night where I'm not – I mean, listen, the way that the game presents on the field, I suppose I could change my mind. But I'm not going into it with the expectation that I'm going to be hard on the offense for how it executes the game plan. Like, if they struggle, I'm not going to be mad, because you look at all of the injuries. It's hard to expect that we're going to be able to move the ball with any consistency down the field, especially without splash plays, if you don't have any of your horses.
No.
And Evans may play, but at what percent?
Yes. And you can see it. You've seen it really from the first game this year. There aren't too many big plays for him down the field. He's got a couple, but most of that stuff is red zone stuff where he's just bigger. And that's great. That's part of his skill set. But it does not portend of big games, stretching the field, 50-yard catches, things like that. That's right now Scotty Miller territory.
Now, if Ronald Jones wants to turn in another 100-yard day, that would be massive in this game. I mean, the Bears' reputation, I think, precedes itself a little too much when it comes to being able to stop the run. But still, I mean, to expect 4.5, 5 yards carry out of Ronald Jones is probably too much, given that you're playing this game in short order. And that's the other thing about Tristan Wirfs. This is the first time he's had to play NFL football on a Sunday and a Thursday. So if he's a little sloppy tonight, I'm not necessarily going to look at this as an indictment on the young man. That's a lot to ask. Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa within 4 days of each other? Yikes.
Think of the people he's been up against, going all the way back to his first ever start. I mean, he has really had to face the creme de la creme of pass rushers in this league. And I would note here, too, that if it weren't for Joe Burrow, Tristan Wirfs is a legitimate candidate to win Rookie of the Year. I mean, at this point of the season, you could make that argument that he is Rookie of the Year, but it's going to go to Joe Burrow if he keeps playing the way he is, which is fine. I get it. He's played really well, and he's a quarterback, but he's a candidate.
He is. Well, I mean, if he passes this test tonight, then you can just set him and forget him. And we were worried about, you know, do you hit, do you not on this particular pick? Well, yeah, it's a hit. It's a question of, is it a home run?
You think I'm wrong on that, though? I mean, if it weren't for Joe Burrow, Justin Jefferson might have something to say about that. But for
the end of it, yeah.
Yeah, but for the most part, and I know the league doesn't tend to look at linemen for these kinds of things, but you'd be hard-pressed to find anybody in a rookie campaign that's anywhere close to as productive, efficient, and in terms of execution, as good as Tristan Wirfs.
I've watched a lot of the NFL this year
because
I've been so starving for football. But I'd say that if you're ranking top 10 rookies so far in terms of impact, Wirfs is in your top 10, there's no doubt. And Winfield is in your top 10. There's no doubt. That's I know that they got point. Beat over the top in this previous game, but for defensive rookie of the year, because they give this thing out to each side of the football.
Yeah, yeah.
Winfield has been a consistent performer and somebody who doesn't look lost. And they might find a book on him before the end of the season, but I haven't seen it yet.
Bill Barnwell did vote him, Antoine Winfield, as the number one rookie of the year on defense. And ironically, he voted him just ahead of the Bears, Jalen Johnson, a corner that you'll see play tonight for them. Mm-hmm. He's noted that both Winfield and Johnson have been superb. Patrick Queen, the linebacker, we knew it when they drafted him. Oh. The Ravens draft well every time.
And well, just watching LSU's playoff performances, yeah. There's one guy who stood out on defense more than anybody else. It was Patrick Queen.
Yeah, he's been a good player. Go figure. They always get it right in Baltimore. It drives me nuts. Every time we watch the draft together, like, and Baltimore selection, like, well, that was a great pick. That was a
yeah, the
great
one we doubted was Lamar, and so far so good.
Yeah, he's been great. So at the end of the day, I probably will not use this game as a referendum if they lose it as anything that portends of bad things to come unless they suffer more injuries. And if they win it, I will. I'll choose to use it because, I think it will show a level of toughness. Again, you're passing more tests, finding ways to win games without your best out there. And, man, at some point these guys are going to get healthy other than, obviously, no O.J. Howard the rest of the year.
Somebody worth mentioning that we haven't done so yet for that could be an MVP tonight is Bradley Pinion. Bradley Pinion in the first half was a hidden MVP of this game. I thought if you're looking at two groups, it would be the offensive line and the punter in the first half to keep. I mean, they go down the field 97 yards.
Mm-hmm.
That ain't Bradley Pinion's fault. He's doing everything he can to make sure the field is tilted in favor of our defense. You might need that tonight at Soldier Field. That if their average field position is inside their own 25-yard line, you thinking Nick Foles is going to go down the field and score three touchdowns in that situation?
No.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
It's a really valid point you're making, Tom. That's true. He has quietly been superb.
Much better.
Much better.
He's a touchback machine on kickoffs. But with the punting game last year was not so great. This year, I mean, and that's huge to play to this defense. It's your 12th defender.
I got to believe we see a low-scoring affair tonight. I think nobody believes it's going to be a shootout, which means it'll be a shootout. Thursdays are hard, but I got to say, if you're listening to this right now, heading into the watching this Bucks game, you got to believe. What's the race to? Are we going to put the race to 21?
Probably.
I will.
Vegas has this at about 3.5 and a total of 44. So they're thinking 24-20 is the final. I think that's rich. I think 20-13 or 20-10.
It feels like that to me.
NFC Central circa 1999 kind of score.
Old school, buddy. Yeah, I could see some 21-17, 17-13, 20-13. You're right.
16-10. I mean, does that sound crazy? It doesn't to me.
Let's just hope that Brady does what he does, man, because I can't say it enough. He's a weird cat to watch. You watch him when he's bad, and you go, oh, my God, this looks awful. He looks so washed up. And then just in a moment, it takes a throw, a concept, almost like a reminder, like he's remembering who he is. And then all of a sudden you go, oh, well, that's rich. That's good. That will work.
Yeah, he had some throws over the middle to start the game, obviously in that first touchdown drive.
Yes.
It goes completely away. And then the second half, the throws over the middle were just, I mean, the deep balls, the throws over the middle.
The key was you had to make them respect that you could go over the top. The reason the stuff went away after the first drive is I watched it. The Chargers just pressed up. They're like, you're not going anywhere. You're not going. The Scotty Miller stuff over the top, the O.J. Howard stuff over the top, that opened up everything that they wanted to do.
Yeah, that's the scary thing about tonight. Now, Scotty is available, but you can beat them with quick little flares to the perimeter. I don't want 27 out there for those, even if it does mean that we're, you know, projecting a little bit of what we're going to do. But that's a favorable matchup, but you need the clear outs over the top to make it happen. So even if Evans is there to be mostly a clear out in a red zone
just
guy,
do
tonight,
it. Yeah.
That's fine. You've got a long rest before Aaron Rodgers comes to town.
And the schedule gets a lot of fun moving forward. But let's start with tonight. Good work out of you, sir. Thanks to Lee DeKemper, JoeBucksFan.com. Thanks to Bill Curry Ford. And thanks to all of you for listening to the Scuttle Bucks. Go Bucks! And we'll talk to you next week. Be well.